Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 36. Jeremiah and chapter number 36. We are continuing to press on with this series of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. And now we turn a corner as God is now dealing a little bit more with Jeremiah and dealing with the idea of his precious word. We understand that God has given us a special gift, the precious word of God. And now, if you don't mind, we're going to hit some basics. It's always good to go back to basics, just to be reminded of some of the basic things that God has given to us in his life, some basic things. So I'm sure that tonight I'm not going to tell you anything that's any different, something that you haven't heard before, but just because you've heard it before doesn't mean that it can't still do us any good. That God's always good and always right. And we need reminded from time to time some of the precious, wonderful things that God has given to us. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 36, once again we find Jeremiah dealing with the crowds, and God is dealing with him in a very special way. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 36. Jeremiah 36, and notice with me in verse number 1. Jeremiah 36 and verse 1, the word of God says this. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spoke unto thee from the days of Josiah even into this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to them to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, and I cannot go to the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all of Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find, or a word actually, that we find all throughout Jeremiah 36, but especially notice with me in Jeremiah 36 and verse 8, notice the phrase, the book, the book. And with the Lord's help, we like to preach about the book, the book. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you for the great services we had this morning, and thank you for putting together that message. And now as we come here, I'm asking that you remind us about how important the book is. Remind us how precious the Word of God is. Show us again. Remind us. Put it in our heart. The wonderful words that you've placed in the Bible. Help us to love the Bible, to appreciate the Bible even more. And we love you. Again, I ask that you fill me with your precious spirit. Lord, I don't want to take it for granted that this is basic stuff and stuff that I know I can teach. These folks don't need my teaching power. They need the power of your precious Holy Spirit just to place it in our hearts. So I best I know how, once again, I ask that you fill me with your precious spirit. You get your own work accomplished through your precious word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah's now been preaching for 24 years now. And in those 24 years, he's preached quite a few messages. In the last 24 years, a couple things have happened. In the last 24 years, many things have gone on. And now God is now taking the time to record Scripture by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he takes Jeremiah aside and says, I want you to do something for me. I want you to write down everything that I've told you. And the first thing I'd like to show you as the book is being recorded is I'd like to show you, first of all, the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book. Notice with me in verse number 1. Jeremiah 36 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book. Now a roll, remember that in those days that we didn't have books as we know, but everything was recorded in a scroll and they would put it together as a book. And so he's taking a roll of the book. Take a scroll. We would say, take out a clean sheet of paper. I want you to write some things down. So take a roll of a book and write therein. Notice what he's supposed to write. All the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spoke unto thee from the days of Josiah even into this day. So Jeremiah, as he's been preaching these 24 years, God says, all right, Jeremiah, you've been doing a lot of preaching. Now we need to record the things that are going on. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take everything that I've told you in the last 24 years. And I want you to start from the day that I called you to preach. And I want you to go forward and preach your very first messages. I want you to write them down. As you took that time to go to the temple and preach the temple discourse, which we find in Jeremiah chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. I want you to record those down. I want you to record some of the things that went on. I want you to record about Josiah dying, Jehoiakim being taken captive, Jehoiakim rising up. I want you to write some of these things. I want you to write about the destruction of the nations that I have planned for them. And so stuff that we did today on Jeremiah 50 and 51, Jeremiah is to write all of this stuff down. He says, I want you to record everything that happens. Now, let's take a pause here, and I want to teach you something that you understand. A lot has happened in 24 years. Some of you could barely remember what you did yesterday. And Jeremiah is being recalled about things that happened 24 years ago. Well, this is something we call, as a very important doctrine, called the inspiration of Scripture. That we understand that it is God that is inspiring Jeremiah. And the book of John, we see in chapter 16 and chapter 14, that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring things into remembrance, the things that God has taught him. And so we know that Jeremiah is not just relying on memory alone, but he is relying on the Holy Spirit of God to prompt him, to cause him to remember, so he can accurately record that what is happening is that the Holy Spirit of God is using Jeremiah to record these things. We call this doctrine the inspiration of Scripture. The word inspiration means God breathed. And the same breath that God breathed into Adam to breathe into Adam the breath of life, that is the same breath that God breathed into the Scriptures. What a wonderful thing that this is not a book written by man. This is a book written by God with Jeremiah in this section as the human penman. And we're going to see more of that in just a second. But God is saying, Jeremiah, let's record it down. Let's record all the stuff that has happened, all those messages, the important things that I want you to preach. He says, remember the sign of the yoke? They're your most famous message. He says, record that down. Everything about Egypt, everything about all these other nations. Record it down. I want you to write it down for a purpose. God has a purpose for having it written down. You understand, it's one thing to have the preached word. It's one thing to have God, thus saith the Lord, and a preacher belt forth God's words. It's another thing altogether to be able to have it written down so we could see it for ourselves. Notice with me in verse number 3, and we could see the purpose of this. It says in verse number 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. The reason why God wants to have all of this written together, so that Judah and the nations have a written record of God's warning and promises, so that someone might read it, and guess what? Someone might actually get right with God. He says, I want it written down so that way it could be a help to them. It could be a blessing to them. It could equip them. It could give them the things in their life. If you don't mind, hold your finger here. We're coming back here. But may I show you the New Testament equivalent of this, as God gives more of a purpose of his word? We understand this is the purpose of the word, so we could read it and God can do a work. But notice what God says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. Many of you may have these verses memorized, and I hope you do, because they're very important verses dealing with the Word of God. What is the purpose of the Word of God? What does the Word of God do for us? Well, God says, Jeremiah, I want you to write him down, and I want you to write him down so someone could read these words and I could do a work. What is the purpose of the Word of God? Well, notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Remember, we just described inspiration, that inspiration is God-breathed, that it is God who is the author of the Scriptures, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable means it's good for you. It's profitable for you, and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice with me in verse 15 as we get a good running start from it. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In verses 15 and 16, we find five things that the Word of God is supposed to do for us. First of all, in verse number 15, we see that the Word of God is to make us wise unto salvation. What does that mean? That the very first and primary purpose of the Word of God is to bring people to salvation. Bring them to the place where they realize that they need a Savior, and that they would ask God for forgiveness and He'll give it to them. That anyone who reads the Word of God, whether they're lost, whatever state they're in, that's the very first work that God wants to do in their life through the Scriptures, to show them that they need a Savior. And if they would turn to Him, He would forgive them. Notice as we go to verse 16, we could see some other things that the Word of God is supposed to do. First of all, it's to make us wise unto salvation, and then it is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine in this case, we could almost say, it teaches us what is right. So you know what the Bible does? It teaches us what is right. So it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. The word reproof has the idea that we're trying to correct somebody. We're trying to lovingly change their ways. Maybe we could say it this way, that the Bible doesn't only show us what is right, but it tells us what's not right. So the Bible tells us what's right. It tells us what's not right. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Notice this next one. For correction. We could say it this way, that not only does the Bible tell us what's right, what's not right, it also tells us how to get it right. That's what the Bible does, is that it tries to bring us to salvation. And then as you read the Bible and grow, it tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get it right. And then notice this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This instruction in righteousness, we could say it this way, it's how to get it right. So what does the Bible do for us? It is profitable, it's good for us, because it tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. What a wonderful thing that the Bible does for us, is that the Bible is written down for our profit, for our benefit, so we can know what's right, what's not right, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. Notice now in verse 17, as it gives a word picture, so we can kind of get it in our mind what God does for us, that the man of God may be perfect. This word perfect has the idea of complete or whole. It means having everything that God has for us, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's say it this way. Let's say that a man who's a bachelor all by himself and has his own place, he has a man cave. It doesn't look nice. He's maybe has like a old milk carton to set his TV on. He's got old banana crates. You guys remember banana crates, and uses that kind of stack things up. And, you know, if left to his own devices, he would probably have animal heads or toys or something all displayed. And then let's say that guy finally decides to get married. Yay! And she gets rid of the stuff on the walls and cleans them up and gets rid of the banana crate and actually buys furniture and then puts some curtains up and makes things nice and makes things smell nice until it's finally thoroughly furnished. That's what the Bible does for us, is that we start off when we're saved, we're empty. God cleans house. Now we are empty. And as we start applying things of the Word of God, He makes us thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Bible does for us. It helps us to be complete or whole. Helps us to be perfect. It helps us to be thoroughly furnished so we could be useful to God. That's what God does. And so God goes to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 36 and says, I want you to write down everything. He says, I want it to be so when people read what has happened, that what's going to happen is as they read Jeremiah, they're going to find out what's right, what's not right, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. More importantly, people could read Jeremiah and realize that they're sinners and that they need a Savior. And if they just ask me, I will forgive them. He says, this is the purpose of writing Jeremiah. And if you don't mind, let's go back to Jeremiah 36 as we describe the book. And we can see what is happening with the book. That not only do we see the purpose of the book, we also see the recording of the book. The recording of the book. How did the book get there at this time? Well, God does a wonderful thing. He uses a physical illustration to describe how we got the Bible. Notice with me in Jeremiah 36 and notice with me in verse number 4. Jeremiah 36 and verse number 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. Now on Wednesday night, we're going to do more of a character study on Baruch. He's very important. But basically, he's Jeremiah's servant. He's his second man. He's his helper. He's an assistant. He's his secretary. He is his everything. He keeps Jeremiah alive at some times. And every preacher needs someone who's just going to keep him alive and supporting him and keep him going. But what happens is that God has told Jeremiah, I want you to write these things down. Now, Jeremiah says, Baruch, you're my secretary, come here. Jeremiah says, as I speak, I want you to take your pen and paper and write down what I say. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Jeremiah speaks, and Baruch takes the pen and actually writes down what God or what Jeremiah told him to write. Well, that historical illustration is exactly what God gave us the Bible. In fact, hold your finger here and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1. The book of 2 Peter chapter number 1. And what we see here is how God has given us through the inspiration of scriptures. How did he give us the scriptures? How in the world did he get that across? Notice with me in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and notice with me in verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says this, knowing this first. When you see that phrase, that means this is important. All right, so this is important. Pay attention. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What that means is that the Bible is not meant we don't find out what does the Bible mean to me and what does the Bible mean to you, and that the Bible means something different to that other person. But in fact, that is not of any private interpretation. That means that God meant only one thing by it. And that we're not trying to find out what the Bible means to me. I'm trying to find out what did God mean when he wrote this in the Bible. That we're trying to find out what did God mean by this. Now notice as he goes on and describes it. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That means some guy didn't wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I think I'm going to write some scripture today. Let me add it. Notice if you remember in Jeremiah, how did we get the scripture? God said, Jeremiah, I want you to write it down. So it wasn't Jeremiah's idea. He was obeying the commandment of God. God said, write this down. And Jeremiah said, okay. Notice in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What we see here is that men were the human instrument, whereas God was the author. For example, if I was to take a piece of paper and a pen, and I was to write my name on there, what wrote down my name? Well, we understand it was a combination of two things. We had the power of my hand and the instrument that was used. That we understand the Bible has one author, and that is God. But he used different instruments to record it. For example, some of you like colored ink. You remember back in the 80s when we had that cool pen that, you know, you flipped down, it had the different color ink. And we thought that was the coolest thing ever. Kids don't worry about that today, but back then that was cool to us. But you understand, I could use a different color ink. I could use a blue ink. I could use red ink. I could use a different color black ink. But you understand, those are different instruments, but the author is the same. And that's how God gave us the Bible. He's the author, and he used human penmen to give us the Word of God. What's more, as the Bible describes these men, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What type of instrument did he use? He used holy men, people that were surrendered to God. For example, if I was to write something down and my pen was going to fight against me, I wouldn't get across what I wanted. You understand? The pen has to be surrendered to the one controlling it. These were holy men of God that were spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That they were surrendered to God, and God said, write this down, and they wrote it down. We see that exact thing in what God was doing in Jeremiah's time. As Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, and Baruch wrote down exactly what Jeremiah told him to write. Baruch didn't have editing skills. He wasn't told, well, you know what? I think it sounds better like this. His job was just to write down what he was told. Does that make sense? And we understand that's the simplified version of what God did. But we understand God is the author, that the men, Jeremiah, was just human penmen. And we could see that illustrated in Jeremiah chapter 36. If you don't mind, turn back with me Jeremiah 36 once again. And in Jeremiah 36, we understand, we see the purpose of the book. Then we see the recording of the book. And then we come, finally, to the preaching of the book. The preaching of the book. So we understand that God has said, Jeremiah, I think it's time that we write some of this stuff down. Let's write it down. And Jeremiah said, yes, sir. He went to Baruch and said, all right, let's write some scripture. You write as I tell you. And they recorded half of Jeremiah at this time, recorded half of the things that occurred that we find in its complete form in the book of Jeremiah. Then notice what happens is that we have the preaching of the book. Notice with me in verse number 5. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go to the house of the Lord. Now, for some reason, Jeremiah, many people believe that he's confined. Maybe he's barred from going to the temple. After all, he did preach a pretty scathing message, and they could have said, you're not allowed to hear ever again. You're banned. You can't go. Whatever the reason, Jeremiah says, I can't go up to the temple and preach this message. So guess what, Baruch, all the things that I just told you, you go take this book and you go preach it. He said, yes, sir. And so notice what happens in verse 6. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Also that thou may read them in the ears of all of Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And so what we see here is that the purpose of the preaching of the Bible is the same as the recording of the Bible. That God wants it so people could hear the word of God, repent from their ways, and God will forgive them. And so Baruch did the thing that he was told in verse number 8. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And so that's all Baruch did, is he opened up the word of God and he read the word of God and let God's word do its own work. We understand God's word is powerful, that God's word will do its own work. To prove that, let me show you once again in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews chapter number 4, and it describes some of the power of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the... For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we could see some things about the word of God. First of all, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. You understand, this is a living book. You're a living soul. The same breath that was breathed into you to make a living soul is the same breath that breathed the Bible. The Bible is alive. And it can speak to us. It can tell us the things that we need day by day. It can tell us what we need. That's why we need to read the Bible every day, because it's a living book. And it could speak to us. It could show us. It can guide us. It knows exactly what we're going through. It is a wonderful living book. The word of God is quick. The next word, and it is powerful. The word powerful here comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is the same word we get our word dynamite. How powerful is it? It's explosive power. It will blow from the inside out. You understand? We just have to give people the word of God, and God's word will do its own work. It will explode. You understand, when we leave a track in someone's hand, when we leave a track in someone's door, it's like throwing a grenade in there, because God's word will do its own work. We can trust. God's word is powerful. Baruch, he was told to go read up the scroll and just read the word of God. Why? It's powerful. It could do its own work. It is quick. It is powerful. Notice what else it says. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You understand, man has made some pretty sharp swords. If I understand right, the sharpest sword made in all of human history would be the Japanese samurai sword. And that they have a special way of making the samurai sword, where they would take it and make the sword of 1,000 folds. That they would take the metal and they would fold it over, pound it in, take the metal and fold it again. And what would happen is it would allow the sword to be very flexible, but also very hard, make it so it's unbreakable. Then after they were done, the Japanese sword masters, they would have the sword go through a couple tests. The first test they would do was called a silk test. And what they would do is they would take the samurai sword and they would hold it blade up. And what they would do is they would drop a piece of silk. And you know how fine silk is. And as the piece of silk would fall on the samurai sword, that just touching the blade, the silk would immediately be cut just by passing over the sword. Then they would pick up the piece of silk after it had been cut. And if it was a straight cut, it was good. If it had frayed edges, if it wasn't all the way cut through, then it wasn't sharp enough. They would have to go do it again. Then came the next test. The Cimri back in the day, whether you like it or not, it was historical. The Cimri had the power of life and death over the common people. And so when they would take their Cimri sword, they needed to test it out. And so they would line up five peasants. You, come here. And they would line them up heel, toe. Then the Cimri would take his sword and swing it through. And if it went through three bodies and got stuck in the fourth, it would be a good body. It would be a three-body sword. The greatest Cimri swords can, with one stroke, go through all five bodies. That was a masterpiece sword. You understand that the humans can make some sharp swords. But you understand the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How sharp is the word of God? Notice in verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You understand that we know that we, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we as humans are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. You know that we have a hard time distinguishing between spirit and soul. They kind of mix together to us. You know, if you were to say, all right, give me a piece of spirit, give me a little slice of soul, we would have a hard time separating those. But you understand that the word of God is so quick and so powerful and so sharp that it could actually go in between and divide the soul and the spirit? That's sharp. If you needed a physical illustration of how sharp the sword is, how finely tuned it is, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. You understand, this is so sharp that it can go in between the joints and the marrow. We know inside of our bone that it has a spongy piece inside of it called the marrow. And this is so sharp that the word of God can go in between the bones and the marrow of the bone. That's pretty sharp. That's pretty finely tuned. This is a scalpel instrument. And notice something else about the word of God, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know how powerful the word of God is? The word of God can show you not only what you think, but why you think it. The word of God is not only so powerful that it knows what you are doing, it knows why you are doing it. By the way, that's why a lot of people don't like the word of God. The Bible talks about in the book of James that the word of God is like a mirror looking back to us. And it's not a funhouse mirror where you look skinnier or you look fatter or you look silly. It shows you an accurate picture of who you are. And because people do not like that accurate picture of who they are, they do not want to read the Bible. In fact, that's probably the number one reason why people don't like to read the word of God, is because they don't like to see what is reflected back at them. But you understand, we need to know that picture. We need to know. You need to know if you've got gunk in your teeth and get it cleaned out before you go in public. You understand? The Bible, it helps us. It shows us the little problems we have as well as the big problems we have. That's why we need the word of God every day. And that's why God, out of his infinite knowledge, decided to give us the written word of God. That's why it's not just preachers preaching all the time. He said, give them the word of God. Because this word will get across the same effect. We just need to read the word of God. We need to love the word of God. We need to treat the word of God like it's something special, because it is something special. You understand, the word of God is a powerful tool that God has given to us to help us to know what is right, what is not right, how to get it right, how to keep it right. God has made it so that at any time when we look at the reflection and we see who we truly are, that we can go to God and repent, and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You understand, the word of God is so powerful, and it is something that we need to have. So hearing a message like this, what in the world do you do with such a thing? Well, quite simply, love the word of God. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you faithfully reading your Bible every day? Now, let me define my terms. I know some people who read a couple verses every day. That's not reading your Bible. I know some people who believe a chapter a day keeps the devil away. That's not reading your Bible. You understand, you need to be saturating yourself with the Word of God. The more of the Word of God that you put in you, the more that God works inside of you. You understand, we need more of the Word of God. The Word of God can do so much. You understand, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. Why are we so faithless sometimes? Most of the time? All the time? Because we don't have enough of the Word of God in us. We need the Word of God. We must have the Word of God. If we're going to function the way that God has intended us to function, we must have the Word of God. So let me ask you, how is your Bible reading? Scratch that. Let me ask you this. When do you read your Bible? How long do you read your Bible? Where do you read your Bible at? If you can't answer me that question, if I was going to say where, when, and how long would you read your Bible? What time do you read your Bible? Tomorrow, Monday, what would you answer me? If you cannot answer that, there's something wrong that needs to be fixed. You need to have that scheduled time. You say, well, I just read it whenever I can. You know what's going to happen? Everything's going to pile up so you can't read your Bible. You have to schedule it. You have to fight for that time. You know why? Because the Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the enemy knows it. You know what the enemies are? It's not just Satan, and it's not just the world. It's this flesh. You understand, your flesh does not want to read the Bible. It does not want you to read the Bible. You know, well, I'll read the Bible if I feel like it. Oh, headache. Oh, backache. Your flesh will fight. It will rear up. It will do everything it can. If that's what you do, you understand, when you finally make a decision, I don't care what happens, I'm going to read my Bible every day at this time, at this place, for how long, you understand, many of those struggles will go away because your flesh will realize it lost. But as long as you give that flesh wiggle room, that flesh will fight you. It will make you so you don't want to read the Bible. By the way, you say, what do I do when I don't want to read the Bible? Read it anyways. You know why? God's word will not return void. You read it anyways because God's word is powerful. You put some of that dynamite inside of you. God will put it off. He may set a fuse and just wait for a little bit, but he will do its work. You understand, the Bible is so important, and you need to have a time where you say, this is when I read my Bible. This is how long I read my Bible. This is where I read my Bible at. You got to have that nailed down and settled down. Otherwise, so many things will struggle and put on top of it. You need to guard that Bible reading time and away from your computer. You understand, Facebook will start speaking to you if you put it right by your computer or your phone or whatever else. Fight for that time. Fight for it. Why? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You understand, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You understand, the Bible is profitable for us, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You understand, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And it's God's tool in helping us. That's why he's given it to us, a supernatural book to help his people through. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.